League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Maybe even the show, certainly the morning show. ESPN did an 11-day thing where they were ranking all the position groups around football, and they're done with that now, and they just asked executives and coaches to rank the players. The teams with the most players in the top 10, it was a top 10 list for each position. Eagles had 10 players in the top 10 of position groups. Lions had 8, Ravens had 8, Chiefs had 7, Bucks had 6. The Texans had Stingley and Nico. I think CJ was an honorable mention, I believe. So they had a couple. Defensive ends, they had Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson in there. So they certainly have some talent on their roster. You know the place they weren't mentioned? Take a guess, CJ, excuse me. I'm thinking of CJ Stroud. AJ. Take a guess, AJ. What position group is least likely for the Texans to have been mentioned of having a top 10 player?
Definitely their offensive line.
There it is. Yes, it's the one thing everyone knows about them. That offensive line isn't good, at least on its face, on the surface. We'll see how they all come together. No, they did not make it. Certainly, Laremy Tunsil, former Texan, is, at least according to this list of execs and scouts, the seventh best tackle in all of football. He was, I guess, rated fourth. That was his fourth. Fourth was his highest ranking by someone. And he was unranked by some people, but seventh on this list. So I bring that up because a guy who won't be on a list unless he has a very surprising year is Jake Andrews. Jake Andrews seems to be the guy currently in line to be their starting center, which is surprising considering his pedigree. Now, he was a fourth-round pick. Lance talked about him this morning. Lance had him as a sixth or seventh-round pick. So the Patriots would certainly be put in the category of having overdrafted him, considering he's no longer Patriot after a couple years in the league. He was drafted in 2003. He was on the streets. Maybe not on the streets. He was a street free agent last year. I realized how that sounded. Jake Andrews was not on the streets, but he's not for the streets. He wasn't on the street. He simply was available for anyone to sign last season, and the Texans did. And now he is speaking for the offensive line. He was on, I don't even know how this goes, because he did something with Mark Vandermeer, who is the voice of the Texans. I don't know if it ran on 610. I don't know if it's simply their podcast. So I'm not even sure the rules on whether we can play it. So I'll just tell you what he said. He said, the ball is going to be run. We're going to run the football. We're going to protect CJ, us up front, we're going to try to make it our life's work not to have anybody in his lap. People are going to know when they wake up on Monday morning that they just got done playing the Texans. All right, that's cool. It's July. That's fine. We'll see what the Rams have to say about that when it matters most. That's a tough start. Speaking of guys in the top 10, Jared Verse was in the top 10 of defensive ends, or at least edge rushers. So they've got a nice front. That's a front that could have helped the Rams get to an NFC title game and maybe another Super Bowl. They were pretty good last year with Jared Verse and Braden Fisk, both guys they drafted out of Florida State. So the Texans will get a test early. So I get Jake Andrews saying things to get people motivated, but ain't no pads on. Ain't no helmet on. We'll see what happens. Everyone tough talks at this point of the year. Everyone believes quite a bit in their team. If you do find a player who doesn't believe in his team, he may be very honest, but you know your team's trash. If you find a player who's like, man, I don't know about this year, then you know you got a trash team, because players all every year and on all sports delude themselves into thinking their team's pretty good. Find the one who goes, nah, not for us, not this year, then you know you're in for a rough year. So appreciate it from Jake Andrews, but we got to see it. And the fact that the Texans may have handpicked you to be their starting center, it doesn't make me feel good. Despite their lack of concern, they can't be trusted with the offensive line. Until proven otherwise, drafting offensive linemen or even signing them off the street doesn't mean anything. A lot of credit can go to them for a lot of things. This isn't one of them. So, and beyond quarterback, I don't know if there's a worse thing to have than a bad offensive line. It stops you from doing everything you want to do. It changes how your quarterback operates. It changes how your coordinator calls plays. It changes everything about your team. You can't be physical to run the football when it matters, and then you can't protect when you have to come back. It all leads to disaster. So you look at what Detroit has done. You look at what Philly has done, and there are ways. Like, the Chiefs don't have a great offensive line. They've tried. They've thrown money into it. And then they've traded guys away because they've been too expensive. Like, Joe Tooney's gone. They brought in Jawan Taylor. They had Brown as well. So they've done things to try to be good. But they've had Patrick Mahomes, so sometimes it doesn't matter. The one guy they got right was Creed Humphrey, their center. Talk about a disparity. Creed Humphrey at this range, and then you've got Jake Andrews at the other. And does that speak to the gap between the Chiefs and the Texans? Probably not, because we watch them on the field. And as far as AFC contenders are concerned, and of course if you want to throw in the Bills regular season win, that's fine. But I don't take that into account too much. It's one regular season game where Josh Allen appeared to be concussed and kept playing, but that's a different story. They feel like they're pretty close to the Chiefs. Now, close doesn't matter if you never beat them when it matters, but we see how they play against them. They compete. The one they don't compete against, and maybe that's because of how physical they are the Ravens. Like, the Ravens beat them up on both sides. Like, the Texans are a race car on the defensive side of the ball. You have to drop back and pass over and over again. That's their game. They'll eat you alive. But if they don't force you into those situations, and they can be run on. Doesn't help that the Ravens have Texan killer Derrick Henry and, of course, Lamar Jackson as well. But I think the Chiefs and the way they play fit the Texan style of play, because the Chiefs aren't physical on the offensive line. And they're going to be in plenty of pass rush situations because of that lack of ability to run the ball against the Texans. And the Texans can get after Patrick Mahomes. They've got not just the guys who can rush the passer, but the athleticism to go run him down when he does the Patrick Mahomes thing, when he looks like he's shouldn't be run as fast as he is, and he does. So that matchup, if we get that one in a playoff series, that's a good one. I'm not sure they want to see the Ravens again the way they're presently built on the defensive front in the middle and on the offensive line. So, Jake Andrews, thanks for the words, buddy. Now go out and block somebody, if it's even your job. Because in some ways, I just assumed it would be some combination of Patterson or Scruggs there. But when the guy is your top center during OTAs, at least listed by the media for the portion of the practice they can watch, and then he's doing interviews talking about how the offensive line is supposed to behave in front of their quarterback, it seems like he's their guy. It's not always the case. It's not 100%, but you can actually take a look at how social media teams highlight players to know who's what in an organization. Like, if you have a player in trade rumors and they wind up at the head of a lot of social media posts, they're probably not going anywhere. It's not something you would even think about, but you just see guys like featured. Okay, that guy's a stalwart. That guy's a foundational piece. A guy who you may not see get posted a lot, who's in trade rumors, like, the social media team knows that this could be, this is maybe a real thing. So we're not going to put him in a spot where people are responding with, get him out of there. Like, yeah, you think the Suns were showcasing Bradley Beal all that much? They did do that whole thanks Bradley when they bought him out, and that's all they said. I think it was pretty much a graphic of him and them saying thank you, which kind of speaks to the level of impact Bradley Beal made there, where it was a very short and sweet acknowledgement that he was there. So I don't know. If I'm reading tea leaves, it feels like Jake Andrews is someone everyone in that building knows is going to have a real shot if he isn't already the starter, which is troublesome. He's what, one NFL start in his career? But he can talk a little bit, and I'm sure he riled up people who put anything that a player says as fact. I don't know. Just call out a stunt this year, because the guys who did it last year, who were in the position to do it last year, didn't. And with Nick Cayley, we know that CJ Stroud is going to take more ownership. So maybe that'll be CJ Stroud's job to call out protections. But whoever it is, just please, a simple TE stunt. Figure it out, everybody. Because if I have to watch Jared Verse come free on the first series of the game, then I know all that talk about not being concerned and all the moves they made to fix this clearly having no impact. But they got time. We got, what do we got, like a month and a half or so, a little bit more than that before the season really begins. So we're getting ever closer. And Jake Andrews is the, at least right now, if I'm going by one interview, the vocal leader of that Texans offensive line. Hopefully he plays as well as he talks, because if you listen to what he said, then you probably would be pretty pumped about the Texans. Just throw out, we're going to be physical and run the ball. People get all warm in their happy place when an offensive lineman does that. All right, we'll go to break with that. 713-780-3776 is the number if you want to call in and join us. I'll tell you where the guys are going to be a little bit later. And by the guys, I mean Paul Gallant and the Killer Bees, because they're out and about for the summer circuit. And I'll tell you what you can win, or at least you get a chance to win if you join them. So we'll do that when we come back.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Our summer circuit continues in right around 40 minutes. It'll be Will Kunkel and BMAC. You know him as the producer for the Killer Bees. He'll do that show with Will Kunkel. Will Kunkel has joined the station, whether it be with John. Who do you fill in for? He filled in for Lance, or filled in for John when Lance was out. I said that wrong again. He filled in with Lance when John was out. Excuse me. He's been on with the Killer Bees at a point. He'll join BMAC because Paul, if you've noticed throughout the week, he's been ill, hasn't been able to be out in public. He's done the responsible thing and done the show from home. Well, they're going to be out and about. They're going to be at McCormick and Schmick Town and Country location. So that's a public event. Paul will stay home, and Will Kunkel will fill in with BMAC, and then the Killer Bees will follow them. They'll be out there from 12 to 6. As I said, it's part of our summer circuit schedule. You can check out the entire schedule at ESPN975.com. And if you go on out there, you got a chance to win a Power On electric bike from Power On Electric Bicycle Company. It's at a $4,000 value. It's two bikes value of $4,000. All you got to do is register at our promo table to get a chance. And once per outing, you can register, which means the next time we're out somewhere, you can join us and register again. And tomorrow, the entire station, maybe without Paul, I don't know what's going to happen there if he's still sick. Maybe without Paul, we'll be out at East River 9 for the Open Championship. We head on out there, great place when we've got major tournaments, and what used to be the British Open, then the Open, now the Open Championship is going on, so we're going to be out there. And beyond the golf, They got pickleball. They've got the restaurant. You want to call it a sports bar, restaurant, clubhouse, whatever you want to call it. It's there for you. They have great food and great TVs as well. So, wow. While you go out there, you're hanging out with us, you can watch the golf. I'm sure they have other things as well on the TVs to take a look at. So that's there for you. I mentioned when we were discussing players departing and the social media teams either not acknowledging them or barely acknowledging them. Bradley Beal, cut, wave, and stretch, whatever you want to call it. Not official, but he'll be a Clipper. He had an affinity for the West Coast that played a part in any potential acquisition for a team because he had the no-trade clause and he did not want to move his family. So he's going to wind up, or at least too far, so he'll wind up a Clipper. And as far as that Clippers roster is concerned, you've got Bradley Beal, who rarely plays, sometimes through injury, sometimes because the Suns didn't want him to play. Of course, Kawhi Leonard, who was a part-time player in the regular season as the Clippers tried to manage him to get him to the playoffs. And then you got James Harden, who always plays. At least he's on the court. Whether he performs in the playoffs is a different thing. So they've got an interesting combo. They traded Norman Powell because they didn't want to pay him. He was in line for an extension. They got John Collins there. That's who they got back in the trade. And then they've now have Bradley Beal, who will likely start in that backcourt with James Harden. You can throw Kawhi at the three, Zubac at the four. And I guess they'll throw Zubac at the five, and then maybe John Collins at the four. Maybe they like someone else there. So that roster is a talented one. It's just untrustworthy. So I don't think they're a real, like, at their peak, they could be a challenge to the Rockets. But why would I trust that roster to find a way to come together? Like individually, you can throw those guys in different spots and think, okay, this guy works here, this guy works there. But then you throw them all together and then throw a Clippers uniform on them? Nah. No. You cannot top it off by throwing a Clippers uniform on that group of players and think it's going to work out. You're always a hamstring away or a playoff disappearance away from it all falling apart. So I accredit teams for wanting to go after Thunder. This isn't a case of the West saying, you guys are young, you guys just won a title, we got no shot. Teams are loading up, but that Clippers team just feels like they are setting up their fan base. I don't even know if I want to call it disappointment, because at some point as a Clipper fan, you just become used to things. How often can a Clippers roster trick you into thinking you're actually going to win when you've seen Clipper rosters in the past always fail to come through? But that's a talented team. Well, I'll say that's a talented group of individuals. I don't know how talented they are when they come together as a team. And the odds right now to win the West, you got the Thunder still the favorite. The Nuggets are now the favorite, the second favorite. So they and the Rockets were tied for a while when they acquired Valanciunas, which that was up in the air. That feels like it's still up in the air, but the trade has gone through. We'll see if they can really convince him to stay. Of course, they bring back Bruce Brown. They get Tim Hardaway Jr. They also traded for Cam Johnson. They trade away Michael Porter Jr. and that. That was a team who saw that they pushed the Thunder to seven and said, let's try this again. They are now the second favorite. The Rockets third, the Lakers, then the T-Wolves, and the Clippers are tied at the fourth favorite or the fifth favorite. So, AJ, have you seen the pictures of Luka, the ones that are floating around right now?
Yeah, I've seen them.
So do you think those are just angles, or do you think he has dropped weight? Because he's going to play for Slovenia, so we'll get a real look and see. He's going to play for Slovenia this summer. What do you think? And probably more importantly, do you think it lasts to the season? Because there's always pictures of Luka looking slim in the offseason, and then when we show up in the regular season, it's, oh, okay, that's the guy we've seen for the last 4 years. So first of all, do you think the angles are just angles, or is it real that he's dropped the weight? And do you think by the time he suits up for the Lakers, that weight will still be off?
I mean, to me, as a Luka fan, because I am a Luka fan, I hope so. I hope it's real. I mean, I think so, too. I think he's going to play more motivated, too, because really ever since the finals happened last year and everybody's talking about his defense, a lot of people have been talking like Luka didn't help carry the Mavericks to the finals and stuff like that. Like, now since the playoffs this year and then what happened then last year, like, people are making it seem like he's just total garbage and stuff like that too. Like, I know he's not a great defender and all that, and I mean, sometimes he'll show effort, but I mean, you know how that conversation is. But I think he's going to be more motivated just overall. So I think he has probably put more work in, and we're going to see with Slovenia. So I think he has. Hopefully, we'll see when he does play. We watch him.
So now I have questions about you, because you said you said you're a Luka fan.
I've been a Luka fan before he was in the league, though.
Okay, this is what I was trying to figure out, because I know the Slovenians understood. They're going to be fans. Maverick fans are going to be fans.
Right.
I don't know that I've met anyone who is a pure Luka fan without one of those affiliations. I'm not saying they don't exist. Everybody has a fan. I'm sure there's a Tim Hardaway Jr. fan who isn't named Tim Hardaway. I'm sure it's out there. But I don't think I've ever talked to a Luka fan separate from them. But you like the one who's at Real Madrid.
Right, yeah, so, like, I'm a fan of, obviously, the Rockets. That's my team, but I like players, too. Like, when I was younger, my favorite player was Derrick Rose. I mean, still love him. Of course, he's retired and stuff like that. But, like, since, like, late junior high, early high school, my favorite players have been Devin Booker and Luka Doncic. So, those two, really.
So, you would have traded a Jalen Green and almost anything if that Devin Booker stuff was real.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Most definitely.
Yeah. Turns out the Rockets allegedly weren't that impressed with him.
Right.
Okay. Well, I guess when you might have to give him $70-something million over annually for two seasons and an extension, maybe that would keep you from being impressed with him too. Because that's the deal. That's what it can be. If he's making first team All NBA and stuff. But I think I went through the numbers last week. Like, Devin Booker's extension. Base salary is like 61 for the first year of that extension, which is a couple years away. So, a Luka fan, huh? All right. I actually kind of agree. While the Nico Harrison thing has been beat to death as far as how could you do it, why would you do it, I don't think Luka being in shape for the Lakers means he would have been in shape for the Mavericks. So, while if Luka comes back in shape and he is the rookie year Luka when he was dunking on people and stuff like that, whatever he looks like in his mid-20s, I'm not going to use that to crush Nico Harrison, because I don't think that version of Luka would have existed for the Mavericks. He's probably very comfortable, and I'm sure they implored him. They needed him to be a little bit more fit, not just for his long-term viability, but for what the team could be and what he could be during the upcoming regular seasons that they're looking at. Because I'm sure they thought after that finals appearance that they had something, and I'm sure they talked to him after. Hey, man, the blow-bys are tough. That's a tough look. We're going to need you to put in effort in multiple ways to be better. And like the Mavericks, I think, got off to a good start, and then he got hurt, and then, of course, things fell apart for them, and then the trade was made. So while Luka being in shape is going to look really bad for the Mavericks, unless we just forget because Cooper Flagg's great early, you weren't getting that guy in Dallas. That place was a pathway to never-ending questions about what would Luka be like if he actually cared about his fitness. And look, he's an NBA player. There's a care factor there. But as far as maniacal about it, I don't think we're going to get that there. We'll see if the Lakers, who we know need to benefit from a star being at his best. They've never experienced that before. We'll see if the Lakers benefit from a motivated Luka. There's a lot of slander thrown his way. Then you get knocked out in the first round by Anthony Edwards, a team who you beat when you're a Maverick. It does not surprise me that the pictures we see are one of a guy who looks very serious. And, you know, the country, playing for his country, means a lot to him. So that probably plays a part as well. The question will be, I don't even know what he eats. Like, have there been, like, reporting on if he's a giant fast food guy? I know beer is the joke because of what Michael Finley took out of his hand. I'm sure Luka likes a beer. But do we know? It was a hookah guy. That's what we know about him. Doncic is what we know. But do we know if he's, like, a big fast food guy, and that's the problem?
I haven't seen anything about that specifically.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what his favorite is. I don't know if In-N-Out was a thing. Was he the most excited person in Dallas when that restaurant opened up years ago now? And now in L.A., he's got access to as many as he wants. Who knows? I don't know. But right now, it doesn't look like he's doing animal style anything. Looks like he's ready to go for Slovenia in the European Championships coming up here soon. All right, we'll go to break with that. couple more segments to go here. Me and AJ till noon. We will be back.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Michael Carroll, who will join us tomorrow. I'll be at East River 9. He'll be back here. He'll join us at 11:30 tomorrow to talk about what you should or shouldn't watch. He gave me some information. I got to read a couple spots. He's walking around in a hoodie. Yeah. It's that cold in here. Our intern said it's cold. I'm out here rubbing my hands to stay warm. That's how cold it is in here. Look, I saw like a couple graphics where Texas is the only state not dealing with record highs, or at least they're below their norms, I think is what it was. The building didn't get the memo as far as temperatures are concerned. We're either frozen out, or it's the weekend where nothing is working. And the weekend producer has to grab a fan to not pass out in that producer room. So that's where we are. Just walk around and stay warm. That's where we are. But we'll make it through. And luckily for the guys coming up from 12 to 6, they won't have to deal with it. AJ will for another show. But the guys on hosting shows will be out at McCormick and Schmick, the town and country location. You can go out there and join them. So Mr. Irrigation, who is a big fan of East River 9, where we'll be on Friday. I was talking about the Clippers and the acquisition of Bradley Beal, and he mentioned they have Harden that Wilson playoffs. Yes, they do. It is his calling card. It is what we will all remember him for. Unless you are Harden Muse, if you have one of those accounts, then you will ignore that and talk about all the things he did, like dropping Wesley Johnson or dunking on Draymond, stuff like that. But for the rest of us who don't make money on Twitter from putting up James Harden clips, we're going to remember what he was and what he wasn't. So it's just part of his story. That's all. He's joining an organization that actually he's at a perfect spot. The Clippers are an organization. A lot of their history is about what ifs. What could have happened here? What if we made a different choice with the draft pick? What if CP3 doesn't get hurt against the Spurs? What if we don't trade Blake Griffin to Detroit after convincing him to stay by saying he was going to be the franchise leader and then just dropping him in the middle? Like didn't even make it to the All-Star break and traded him to Detroit. And not this version of Detroit where they've got Cade Cunningham and people are excited about him. The version of Detroit where, oof, they must really hate Blake Griffin. They just traded him to Detroit. That type of Detroit. That's how they treated someone at one point many people considered was going to be a franchise legend. So, yeah, James is in the right place. The Clippers will be a factor, but they'll never be taken seriously. I don't know if that'll just be a Clipper thing or how the composition of that roster right now. It could be both. So, Bradley Beal, a Clipper. Rockets shouldn't be too worried, but just another talented team in the NBA. Excuse me. All right. Thanks for that, Mr. Irrigation. Yeah, it's James. There's not a lot else to say beyond that. All right. So Rashee Rice, they've finally have found him. They actually have a ruling now. So as a tweet by Adam Schefter suggests, now the NFL can rule because the NFL is a league that just waits. Generally, just waits for the legal proceedings to take place, and then they go jump in with their punishment. So Rashee Rice, his legal proceedings are over. A judge sentenced him to 5 years probation and 30 days of jail time that can be served during his 5 years probation for his role in a crash during the 2024 offseason. So, if you're Rashee Rice and you've got 30 days of jail time over the course of 5 years, how do you spend them, AJ? Are you going like, you're not doing like a week at a time, right? Are we doing like a week, couple weekends a year to get that off?
Probably so. It had to be during the off season though.
Yeah, of course. We're not doing it during the season. 30 days of jail time. I wonder what I wouldn't want to do it all in a row. I don't want to do a week in a row either. Nah, I think I'm doing, hey, can I get this Monday? Like, none of it's fun. Like, it's not like I'm going to pretend like it's easy no matter what. No one wants to spend time in jail. But if I got to disperse my time, and you can't, like, pick it at a whim either. Like, oh, I mean, look, my girl's giving me some problem. Let me spend a couple of days away. You can't do that either. So it's got to be set in stone. So I think I'm going no more than 2 days at a time.
Yeah.
No more. And I'm no more. That's it. That's it. I don't think I can handle more, particularly when I know I have 5 years to burn them over. I don't know if that's normal, but that's a weird way to.
With ratio.
Yeah. 30 days over 5 years of probation. You can figure it out, Rishi. However you want to spend those days, you can. Now, you're giving me too many decisions. I almost would ask you to just tell me as opposed to making me figure it out. But there it is. So after that car crash, he is now free to be disciplined by the NFL. And I wonder what they do, because it's enough. It's now one off season since and one full season since. Did they hit him with a four gamer? Does he miss just only two? And of course, we know what will happen. Depending on how many he gets, the inevitable comps to what other guys get when they're involved in domestic violence issues. So the NFL always, I would say they generally don't allow that to dictate how they give guys suspensions. But you'll know that those tweets and those think pieces will happen when they go, well, this guy only got this, and Rashee Rice is getting this. So we'll see. Rashee Rice, a guy that the Chiefs sorely miss, and whenever he's healthy again and back from suspension, will change how that offense operates, because that's a team who has Xavier Worthy, they have Rashee Rice, and they have whatever's left of Travis Kelce, and then I guess Pacheco and others to kind of round it out. And the Texans brought in Justin Watson, one of those guys who helped round out their offense, the Chiefs' offense last year. Look, there's no pretending and saying the Chiefs are falling off. We got those conversations. Are ridiculous, right? We didn't do that to the Patriots when they had Brady. We could suggest that they weren't going to be as dominant, and certainly there are years when they weren't, but I remember the conversations last year. They happened on this air. They happened in other spots where this is the year the Chiefs are going to take a step back. Are we going to play this game again? Can we not play this game this year? Look, if you want to get your take off, that's fine, but this conversation about the Chiefs aren't going to be as good, just let it happen. Maybe don't talk about it, because if we do the young GOAT stuff with Patrick Mahomes, well, if he's the young GOAT, the current GOAT in some of your eyes was one who never had a fall-off season to the point where we were really discussing a Chiefs team not making the playoffs. Give it up. The combo of Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, excluding serious injury to Patrick Mahomes, is making the playoffs. Do we really trust the Chargers? We talk about teams who may take a step back. I'm pointing at the Broncos. I didn't buy any of the stuff that happened last year with them, particularly the way they babied Bo Nix in that offense. If he's not a more productive guy down the field, if we're still throwing so many passes between 0 and 5 yards of the line of scrimmage, I got to believe defenses will adjust and force him to be a guy who has to push the ball downfield. That's a team I don't buy. The Chargers, that's all about if you have faith in Jim Harbaugh and Justin Herbert. Faith can be waning, particularly with the quarterback, but there are no challengers in that division. I'll give the Chargers credit. They at least play the Chiefs close. I think the Broncos are short block field goal away from winning last year, which leads to the narrative about how the Chiefs are going to fall off. Make me see it. I welcome it. But until it happens, I think I'm not entertaining anyone having that conversation. You're wasting everyone's time. Really. If you want to do that on July 28th because you got a segment to kill, I understand it. Trust me. Dark times, July 28th in sports. There's not a lot to talk about. But I know what you're doing, and you shouldn't believe what you're doing. It's not happening. I'm trying to think of great quarterbacks whose teams fall off for a season. Like the greats, the top tier. We don't think the Ravens are going to have it happen to them. We don't think the Bills are going to have it happen to them. The Chiefs are all generally always everyone's choice because of how they win games and the referees and all those conversations. Oh yeah, that's what I'm not looking forward to. The referee conversation. I forgot about that. That's going to be back too, because the Chiefs are going to be good again, and the refs will allegedly have a bias. So we'll hear that one more time throughout the year. But you got a great quarterback. Don't expect to fall off unless he gets hurt. So you think the Chiefs are going to be bad or maybe not as good as they were? Look to Patrick Mahomes' ankle or something and see how many games he plays before you actually try to get a serious version of a take about how the Chiefs are not going to be as good as they were. I ask everyone to cut it out or keep it to yourself. That's all. All right, we got one more segment here before we're done for the day. At least I am. If you want to join us, that number is always the 713-780-3776. We got the guys out at McCormick & Schmick in about 15 minutes, but we'll take you to them. Till noon, we'll be back.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So I mentioned Michael Carroll, the host of Comicast. I mentioned earlier today as he was walking by in a hoodie because of how cold it is. We'll talk to him about these things that I'm going to ask AJ about tomorrow. AJ, several trailers have come across my timeline over the last 24 hours. I mentioned the Stranger Things trailer. We talked about that a little bit yesterday. We got Alien Earth I've seen. And then the one I'm sneakily a lot excited for, Mortal Kombat 2. How would you rank them? Or maybe you have one that I didn't put in the top three that you're looking at. So we got the end of Stranger Things. You've got Alien Earth, which is what it says. Aliens coming to Earth, a futuristic Earth, but still Earth. And then you've got Mortal Kombat 2. Where are you at? Or throw in a wild card.
I think for me, it's for sure Stranger Things. I mean, I've loved that series since I started watching it. And those kids, well, are around my age too, yeah, as well. True. So it's kind of like, yeah, but that's first for me. Mortal Kombat probably second, and then I haven't watched the Alien Earth trailer yet, so I have to check that out.
Got it. Yeah. The Stranger Things trailer hits me in the entire series. I'm a synth guy. Like, I'm not going to listen to synth music, but if you just throw synth on something, I'm going to like it. Right. It's just part of what works in my brain. So that always hooked me, the 80s part of it, and then you throw in, like, the lore that's come from it beyond the Hawkins lab and all that stuff, and then you get into some of the things that you get into in the later seasons. I'm like, okay, you got me. It's some highly stylized version of the Goonies in some ways, and then you throw in
I love the Goonies,
yeah,
too.
You throw in the sci-fi part of it. I'm down with that. And as I said yesterday, now Elle's like a, I don't know, she's either she's flying or she's taking giant leaps like she's the Hulk. I'm not sure what's going on there. We only got a bit of the trailer. Tron, do you know anything about the Tron series?
Oh, no. Nah.
Like, Tron is another 80s thing. Tron Ares, I think, is the new movie coming out. They had Jeff Bridges was a star of the first one long ago, and then they had a second one that was fine. And then it feels like, you know, we're going to try this one again because they were supposed to be a sequel to, or at least a third movie, but a sequel to the one that came out a couple years ago now, and it didn't work. The movie didn't work, so they didn't make a third one, but now it's back, so that one's out there. So it's the summer, so we're starting to see more and more trailers. Some of the stuff is not for months now, like Stranger Things. So we'll talk a lot about that stuff with Michael. He is our guy for that stuff, and we'll see what he likes. I think I'm with you. While I like Mortal Kombat, if you're telling me you're finally going to end the saga of Stranger Things, let's go. Let's go. Let's show me the conclusion. Now I ask you, with these type of shows, like last year, a major character felt like she was going to die, and then she didn't die. Do you want everyone to survive? Or would you want at least a couple people to get packed up?
I mean, it always shows stakes when someone dies, but I don't know if you remember when Guardians of the Galaxy 3 came out, everyone thought that Drax was going to die. A lot of people were going to die. Rocket and them died.
Yeah.
And then none of them died.
Yeah.
So it's like, I mean, there's ways to, you know, have a cohesive ending to a story without having character deaths, but it has to be purposeful if you're going to make it happen, you know?
Yeah, do you think, since I don't know who's watched it, who hasn't, do you think it's better that the person who was who looked like they're going to die, survived for whatever storyline is going to take place, or do you think that storyline should have ended in season four? And then we'll move on because we're doing some narrow casting, narrow talk right now because how many people have watched it, I don't know. But do you think that person should have died?
To me, it just depends on how creative it is, though. But, I mean, if you tease it, especially if you tease it, like, in a trailer or something like that, or, like, I mean,
yeah. Well,
I don't know.
There was no tease of any deaths, just people in danger. I will say this. When you have a thing where you say, I'm giving you everyone a letter because I think I'm going to die, and we don't see the letters or we don't have anyone read them,
right.
It makes me feel like letters are going to come back and that person's going to die.
Because yeah.
Those letters will be read at some point because, well, the person's passed away. So we'll see. That's one of the major plot points for that show. And, yeah, as you said, those kids were like 11 through like 14, and now – well, you were at that age when the show came out almost, and now you're 20s,
yeah.
Which is about the age of everyone on that cast, at least for the kids. So, yeah, it's been a long time. We talked about it a little bit yesterday. 9 years is too long. But the fact that they could, on Netflix, a show could still be alive after 9 years speaks to the impact of that show, because Netflix is just getting rid of everything after 2 years. Like, it costs too much, or not getting enough viewership or accolades. It's got to go. So the fact that that thing has lasted as long as it's had, wow, people who were in their early 20s are now 30 years old, speaks to what they have. And I do think because of how old everyone is, we're not going to get any spinoffs, because that always felt like a possibility. Now everyone's too old for spinoffs. So.
Yeah, that would be overkill too.
Yeah, let's finish the story, do it right, and then we'll move on. So. That's a bit of what we'll discuss with Michael tomorrow. I'm sure he has his thoughts. I'll find out when I go record some spots whether he's even seen any of these trailers. And if he hasn't, I'm going to tell him, hey, watch the trailers. AJ and I have already set a standard of what the discussion should be about. You got to pick it up. You got to live up to what we're talking about. And so we'll do that with Michael, host of Comicast. And he's done that for a while now. He does that show with Jong Lee. Jong used to be a producer at ESPN 975. So they do that. It airs on our air on ESPN 975 from like 8 to 9 on Wednesdays. That's generally where it airs. And then, of course, you can hear it in podcast form as well. So we've talked quite a bit of NFL stuff today. Reports are coming out about someone who could affect the Texans this year. I don't know if he's going to start, but it looks like Anthony Richardson is – his shoulder is fine. He's been a guy who's been injured throughout his first couple years. He didn't play a lot of ball in college either. He's one of those guys who certainly the Colts took on potential more than production. And it's kind of played out that way. His first start was all of the potential, where he was running all over the Texans. And then it ended because Anthony Richardson's years or games in this way, he was hurt. He got hurt in that game. And that's kind of been a predictor of what his career has been. Stops and starts. You see the potential. Hell, even last year, that flat-footed bomb he threw against the Texans was like, oh, this is why you draft Anthony Richardson. And then you don't win that game. And then you watch the rest of the year when he was actually available. The inaccuracies, his inability to throw on time. And then you throw in tapping out of a game against the Texans at home. At least the Texans were home, and he tapped out of a game. All that led to him getting benched, and now he's in a competition with Daniel Jones for the starting role. I'm not sure which is better for the Texans, honestly, because Daniel Jones isn't good, but neither is Anthony Richardson. They're different in how not good they are, but either way, I think it'll work out well. I think the boom or bust potential maybe makes Anthony Richardson a stronger opponent, because if you get after Daniel Jones, he can move a little bit, but he's not the athlete that Anthony Richardson is. But and I'm not sure how many design runs they're going to give either one of them, considering Richardson's injury pass. But I think I'd rather see Daniel Jones back there. But Anthony Richardson could go like 11 for 26. That's the type of level of bad he can be, which might work out better for the Texans. But he looks like he's going to be ready to go for training camp. So that competition will be one of the bigger ones in the league. A lot of the quarterback battles are not battles. They're kind of just set in stone. Even with rookie quarterbacks, we expect to see Cam Ward. There's no challenger to Cam Ward in Tennessee. While McCarthy's not a rookie in Minnesota, it'll be his first year playing. No challenger there. So as far as really battles, I mean, the Colts one is the one where you're, if Daniel Jones wins that job, you might as well just fire all the decision makers. Not because they signed Daniel Jones. It's just because the guy you drafted can't beat out Daniel Jones. Which is good news here. Daniel Jones being a starting quarterback for a division rival is perfect. I mean, outside of 1 year in New York, how did all the the NFC East teams deal with the Giants during his time there? They did just fine. So now that I've talked it out, give me Daniel Jones as a starting quarterback for the Colts. I think the Texans will look at that and go, cool, appreciate it. Thank you for that. And we'll see how that plays out. Okay, we're done. Will Kunkel and B Mac are next. They're out at McCormick and Schmick, the Town Country location. I did want to let you know, once again, if you want to go to Texas Card House, go to the one in Spring today. Of course, the Westheimer one is great too, but Texas Card House in Spring this afternoon, they're going to have a hijack poker event from 2 to 8, and they're also going to have some in-person promotions you can take advantage of. They're going to have a great game at 6 p.m. as well. They got a $40 buy-in with a $4,000 guaranteed payout. So you could get to Texas Card House in Spring today off of I-45 North and Spring Cypress, or just go to texascardhouse.com to find out more. So we're done for the day, AJ. So what does that mean?
That peanut butter scam.
She's looking for a job, by the way. That news broke this week. Thank you, AJ. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.